We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, the grand theme of justification permeates the Bible, especially the New Testament, with the beautiful story of God's free gift of life through Christ and His death. As all men sin and fall short of the glory of God, we desire and need a system of justification. And by the grace of God and the blood of His Son, Jesus, we who are guilty before God may become innocent in His sight. To justify means to declare innocent or blameless. In this sense, the term justification may be applied to those who are accused of crimes which they did not commit. But to justify also means to acquit or to absolve from guilt when guilt has been justly determined. It means to declare blameless when blame has been fairly declared. In this sense of justification, we must include the idea of pardon of sin, that is, remission of sins, salvation from sin, the blotting out of sin, so that a soul may stand before God as though he had never sinned. Surely, then, the subject of justification is second in importance to nothing else. As with other matters concerning man's salvation, there are several different and conflicting theories about justification. Some believe that justification is all works. Some say that it is all faith, by faith alone. Out of these two ideas have grown other theories. It is not our purpose today to examine each of these various theories which we have mentioned. It should be sufficient to say that they cannot all be true, because God is not the author of such confusion and contradictions. If we study the Word of God closely, we will discover that the gospel reveals a number of items in the biblical system of justification. Therefore, it cannot be true that man is justified by any one thing alone. Let us open the divine volume and carefully determine what God has said upon the subject of justification. First, let us see that the remission of sins or pardon of our sins is involved in the matter of justification. The Apostle Paul, in his address in the synagogue, declared, "Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man is proclaimed unto you the remission of sins, and by him everyone that is believeth is justified from all things, from which he could be justified, could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. My friends, the remission of sins was preached through Jesus Christ, and those who believed and obeyed were justified. Then, in his great epistle to the Romans, Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness." Romans 3:23-25. Paul indicates that the remission of sins and the justification of the believer must mean the same thing. In verse 26, Paul says, "That he might himself be just, and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus Christ." Then in Romans 8:33, the apostle states, "It is our God that justifieth." Now, since God justifies the believer, and no one else is justified at all, it follows that the pardoning power is in God alone. If God alone has the power to justify or pardon, then it follows that pardon takes place in the mind of God and not in the heart of the sinner. Man has no power or ability to pardon himself. God is the offended party, and pardon must come from Him, or the guilty one can never stand justified in God's sight. As all justifying and pardoning power is lodged in God, it should be obvious to us that He alone has the right to suggest the terms of reconciliation. If a man wishes forgiveness, he must accept the terms imposed by God. Why would any man desire to be pardoned in some other way than that commanded by God in the Scriptures anyway? You and I should rejoice in the great love extended toward us and gladly accept His salvation. We should be saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Are you willing to do this? Perhaps many fail to obey the Lord because of the lack of instruction. If the blind lead the blind, however, the Bible says they both shall fall into the pit. Realizing that it is God who alone who justifies the ungodly and shows mercy to the guilty, we need to learn of the agencies and the means and conditions upon which justification is to be offered. Man could not devise a system of justification for himself. Man could not provide for himself an offering that could take away his sins. God sent His Son to do this. Therefore, God has done for man what he was unable to do for himself. But what man was able to do for himself, God has required of man. Man will be lost if he refuses to do this. Man can believe and obey God. In the beginning, man alienated himself from God by committing sin. Man could not reinstate himself in the favor of God. He could not do anything to merit the forgiveness of his sins. But God still loved man. Not only did he love man, but he loved him so much that he provided a way for his salvation. This unmerited love and favor moved the Heavenly Father to offer terms of salvation to man. This makes our justification a matter of grace. The Apostle Paul said that we are justified freely by His grace. Romans 3, verse 24. If we are justified freely by His grace, how is this accomplished? The Apostle goes on to say, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Beloved, the grace of God caused Him to give the world a plan of redemption through Christ. And those who accept it have the remission of their past sins and are justified by God's grace. Justification, or salvation, is not secured by grace alone, however, without any conditions to be complied with by man. Notice that Paul wrote that we are justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ. And He is the propitiation only through faith in His blood. If we have no faith, there is no propitiation. If there is no propitiation, there is no redemption. And if there is no redemption, there is no forgiveness, there is no justification by grace. Therefore, the grace of God perfected a plan of justification in the gospel, but it is only the power of God and the salvation that man must believe it and obey it in order that he may be justified by the grace of God. My friends, there are some who believe that faith is the gift of God and not an act of the creature. They read where the apostle said, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." Ephesians 2, verse 8. But I ask, what is the gift of God referred to here? Does the apostle mean that faith is the gift of God? The words, "and that not of yourselves," refers back to the word saved, not to the word faith. Salvation is the gift from God. Faith is man's part. Salvation is God's part. This agrees with another statement of the apostle found in Romans 6:23 when he declared, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, many people have misunderstood Paul's statement that our salvation is not of works that no man should glory. Ephesians 2 and verse 9. Certainly, we realize that man cannot save himself or in any way come to deserve or merit salvation. If he could, then salvation would be a matter of a debt God was obligated to pay rather than by grace. Are we to understand that all acts of obedience are to be excluded under the head of works? Surely not. For this would damn the whole human race. Hear me, my friends. Are you listening? Believing on Jesus is a work. In fact, believing is the work of God because He commanded man to obey Him. This is a command by God for man to obey. Hear the words of Jesus when He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." John 6, verse 29. So even believing is excluded if all works are excluded. But Jesus said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 16. If all works done in obedience to the gospel are excluded, then man's last ray of hope is gone. When Paul said, "And not of works, that no man should glory," he meant that salvation is not of works done by man. but is of God. Paul also wrote, "It is God who justifieth." And the means of salvation was the free gift of God to man. We can see further that obedience to the gospel was not the works excluded by Paul. When we read the language to Titus, Paul said, "Not by works done in righteousness which he did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. But being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Titus 3, verses 5 through 7. Here in these verses, Paul distinctly states that God saves us by his mercy, justifies us by his grace, and that he does not save us by works of righteousness which we have done. How then does God's mercy and grace save us? The apostle writes that we're saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. By the expression, washing of regeneration, is meant baptism, as practically every commentator agrees. It could not mean spiritual washing, because the renewing of the Holy Spirit is mentioned next as an additional specified item. This washing of regeneration is parallel to the washing of water by the Word, as written by the Apostle in Ephesians 5 and verse 26, and to the words, "Be born of water," which Christ declared to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 5. Therefore, baptism, the washing of water, or the washing of regeneration, is not included in these works of righteousness by which we are not saved. Faith and baptism, in obedience to God's commands, are essential parts of our gospel obedience, our response to God. We all agree that by God's grace, we eat bread. In the production of bread, God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He could provide the soil, and God did provide the soil. We could not provide the soil. We could not provide the sun, the atmosphere, the rain, the seasons. God did this for us. We can, however, prepare the soil, plant the seed, cultivate and gather the crop, and have it made into bread. God requires us to do this or perish. When we use the means God has graciously provided, we have bread by the grace of God. So it is in justification by grace for sinful man. God has provided the means, and we must use them. Believe and obey him, or we will surely be lost. Have you been justified by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ and his blood? Have you been absolved of all blame and guilt through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Our Savior said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 16. The Apostle Paul agreed in every detail as he spoke about being saved by grace through faith and through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, God has provided the means of grace for all men to be saved. Paul declared, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Titus 2:11. God has brought salvation within the reach of all men. But only those who obey him will be saved. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But how many will be saved? The Bible says, "And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the offer of eternal salvation." Hebrews 5, verse 9. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? When God tells us we are justified by him through Jesus Christ and his blood, believe it. When God tells us we're justified by faith, believe it. And when God tells us we're saved by his grace and mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, believe it and obey. When you have learned what the Lord requires of you, do it without delay. Trust in God and his word, and you will not